So I want to thank everybody to be here. I know this is the last session of the conference. So I'm going to shift the direction a little bit. I'm going to talk about system performance optimization, fine-tuning system configurations. Right? So even though we don't actually make any assumption on the underlying system that we want to tune, but in this particular talk, it's going to be about a key value store operated by Microsoft Bing Ads. So why are we talking about system optimization through configuration tuning? It's because that one day I was talking to an engineer at Bing Ads, and he was telling me how difficult it is to actually tune modern cloud systems, right? So here's basically how they go about it. Sorry, this is an echo. So here's how they typically go about it. They actually take the logged system workload traces from the production environment, and they just look at the trace, and then based on their knowledge about how their system work, they kind of make guess on what the optimal configuration would be. And once they have that guess, they benchmark that configuration, either in simulators or in real-world testbed, right? And then with that benchmark results, they make another guess. Okay. And then you can imagine that the whole process basically repeats itself over and over again. And at some point, the operators will just feel confident about the guess. And then they just stop and push that configuration to the production environment. Couple problems with this human-driven approach. First of all, because the complexity of the modern cloud system is very high, right? Sometimes it's actually beyond what the human can actually reason about. And I'm not just talking about the number of configuration knobs. I'm also talking about the dependencies between different knobs, right? So you cannot just tune parameters independently. You have to consider their combined effects. And also, because everything is just guesswork, right? It's kind of hard to know whether you have reached the optimal configuration yet. And something I want to point out is the time to benchmark a system is also typically very high, very long, because you have to wait for the system to warm up. In case of key value store, you might need to wait for the cache to be full before you can actually benchmark the key value store performance, right? So this means that you should not just randomly pick a configuration to test, because it might not give you any information gain, and you would be just wasting time. So one way to kind of help operators to kind of pick configurations to test and also to figure out the search space is by using what's called the Gaussian process regression, right? And with Gaussian process regression, what you can do is you can start to model the parameter versus performance space, right? This kind of give you more insights on how the system would actually behave with different parameters. And then to actually train this model is very simple, right? You basically feed your past system benchmarks. So this would be a bunch of system parameters and the corresponding performance measurements, right? And with the training, you actually get a regression model. So after that, you can actually do prediction. You can say, with the system parameter value equal to X, what's the expected performance, right? And in theory, with this prediction capability, you can actually apply a lot of function minimization tools that allow you to find global minimum, which would be the optimal configuration. Okay. So our tool, our work is also based on Gaussian process. And here I just want to highlight a couple features about Gaussian process regression. Right? First of all, the GP does not make any assumption on the underlying data distribution. This is very different from linear regression. Second of all, for any given X, it's going to give you the expected value of Y. In our case, that would be system parameter to system performance. Right. Along with that, it's also going to give you what we call the confidence interval, the 95% confidence interval of each guess. Right. And as I'm going to show later, this uncertain information is actually very helpful when you want to do system tuning. So one question now is, how do we actually pick data points so that we can do regression, right? This is actually one of the theory to practice gap for system operators, right? How do we actually train this model? What data do we actually feed it? One way is to do random sampling, right? But with random sampling, you actually need to do a lot of data points in order to capture any interesting features. Another way is actually to use Bayesian optimization. Conceptually, BO is very simple. If you give it a GP model, it's going to do some computation and tell you what's the next configuration you should benchmark. And BO's goal is to kind of eventually improve the prediction accuracy. Okay. The sampling strategy is actually non-trivial. This is a very classic problem of balancing exploitation and also exploration. Exploitation means that you kind of want to sample regions you think have the optimal solution. But at the same time, you also want to do exploration, basically sample regions that with high uncertainties, right? So balancing this is actually very hard. They are popular acquisition functions. These are sampling strategies, right? And then recent work has shown that even though they are computation efficient, they do not well balance exploitation and also exploration. Okay. So very quickly, we are also based on our tool. Our tuning tool is also based on Gaussian process and Bayesian optimization. And we take the logged system workloads from the production environment, and then also the past benchmarks from the administrators. And from these past benchmarks, we can actually create a Gaussian process model. Right? And then at this point, our tool can actually predict the optimal parameter value. Right? Or another option is for you to do Bayesian optimization, for the tool to do Bayesian optimization, so such that you can actually build up your training data set. And eventually, you can have a much more accurate prediction. Okay. So we are doing implementation, right? We implement a lot of theoretical work. And then we actually found that there are a couple theory to practice gaps that kind of scare the system operators a little bit. And I just want to highlight them. First one is what we call the training data quality. If you look, the problem here is that many system performance metrics, for example, latencies, are very sensitive to noise, right? So the same benchmark, if you repeat a couple times, you're probably gonna get a little bit different latency measurements every time. And if this variance is very high, it basically means your training data has outliers, right? And since we are exploring an unknown space, how do you actually find these outliers? Is actually very hard. And the second gap we found is what we call the training data coverage. Right? Basically, the system operators don't know which sampling points, which configuration they should benchmark. Right? And also, in our case, the problem is also a little bit more complicated. It's not just about exploitation and also exploration. It's also about resampling. Right? I just talked about data outliers. Maybe you should also resample existing benchmarks as well because they have some outliers. So how do you actually balance these three sampling strategies is also non-trivial. And our contribution lies in addressing these theory to practice gap. So what we want to do is we want to customize Bayesian optimization such that we can improve the training data quality and coverage. Okay. And one observation here is that because the actual system benchmark is so time-consuming, we try not to do benchmark unless we know that there is a significant information gain. Instead, what we want to do is we want to do relatively cheaper computation on the machine learning model. Okay. And that's why if you look at other people's sampling strategy, you will see that our sampling strategy is actually more computation heavy. Right, because we actually need to create a lot of models for data outlier detection. We also need to run a mixture of sampling strategies in order to balance different requirements. But in the end, these are still cheaper than running the actual system benchmarks. Okay. So before I share kind of technical details, I just want to highlight one of the production deployments of our tool. So this is actually a collaboration with Microsoft Bing Ads. And our target system is called Bing KV. So Bing KV is a SSD-based key value store. It also has an in-memory cache to speed up the lookup latency. And then right now it's serving billions of key value queries per day. And our job is actually to tune the parameters of the caching mechanism. What goes to the memory, what goes to the SSD, right? Very simple. Performance metrics that we are interested in is the key value lookup tail latency, 99th percentile and also 99.9 percentile latencies. There are at least 10 parameters that we can tune, and each has a large value range, for example, between 0 to 1,000. Okay. It's actually not that easy to tune the performance of key value store because you cannot just focus on cache hit rate. It only tells you half of the story. Right? The other half is actually in the key value object size. Right? Here's one simple example. If you want to cache a large object, that basically means you need to evict multiple smaller ones. Right? So somehow you need to balance between cache hit rate and also the key value object size. And this is very hard for human to kind of reason about. Okay. Each benchmark takes about 2 to 3 hours to run because we have to warm the cache. So here's a very quick measurements from the production environment. The way we do this comparison is by using LRU as our baseline, right? And then we ask the an expert on Bing KV to actually hand tune the system. At the same time, we also try to tune the system with our tool. It took the operator 1 month of human time to actually tune the system. And then compared to LRU, you can see that he actually reduced the latency by 16%. With our tool, it took about 1 day, and then we actually reduced it by 22%. So this is actually a 5% reduction. But if you look at the time cost, it's actually much, 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 much less. Right, so now I want to share a little bit about our secret sauce, the technical details, right? I try to keep it light. So first of all, I talk about the how do you detect outliers in the training data, right? Because many of the system performance metrics are sensitive to noise. The problem is actually not trivial because this is actually an unknown space you want to search, right? And you don't have ground truth, so it's hard to know which data points are noisy, which data points are outlier, right? Which ones are not. So the way we do this is by comparing the actual measurements to the expected value. And the expected value is very easy to compute because we have the Gaussian process model already, right? So here is how we do it. So we go through all the data points in the training data, and then we actually remove each data point from the training data, and we create a new Gaussian model. That's what we call the diagnostic Gaussian process model. And then from this new GP model, we can actually calculate the expected 95 percentile confidence interval. If our benchmark measurements falls outside of this confidence interval, then we know with high probability that we have an outlier. Okay, so it's actually very simple. I skipped some details, but you can actually, I invite you to read our paper. But the basic idea is actually very simple. So now we also kind of make the problem a little bit harder because now we have to balance for each time we want to suggest a new configuration to sample. We have to think about how do we actually balance between exploitation, exploration, and also resampling, right? For the next, basically, what this means is that for the next step, should I pick a configuration that allows me to explore on certain region, or should I pick a point that I know is probably the optimal, I just want to test, right? Or I should pick a point to resample because I know with high probability that it's actually a outlier, okay? Right? So the way we do this, right, is that we kind of treat each problem separately. Instead of just one acquisition function, it's just one, instead of just one sampling strategy, we actually have three. And we have three, we have separate strategy for exploitation, for exploration, and also for resampling. Okay. For exploration, as I mentioned before, this is just the unsample points with the largest uncertainty. And then for resampling, we just use the diagnostic GP model I just introduced. For exploitation, it's a little bit tricky, right? Because basically, we want to find points that have high probability of being optimal, and then but with low probability of being not optimal. Okay, I'm going to leave a little bit of details about math here, but the paper has more detail. But basically, we want to maximize the probability of being optimal, right? And once you get candidates from these three sampling strategies, you somehow need to pick the best one to suggest to the assistant operators. Okay, and the way we do this is by computing the information gain. And how do we do this, right? So imagine that if I were to sample a new configuration, then I'm going to have a new data point in my training data, and that's gonna change my Gaussian process model. That's also going to change my prediction about the optimal configuration, right? And then the way we do this is that hopefully the new prediction, the newly predicted optimal configuration is going to have a much better performance than the current prediction, right? And that difference is what we call the information gain. Right? And here what we do is suppose we were to sample a candidate, right? And we take the expected value, we add it to the training data. We train a new GP model, and then we try to calculate what would be the expected optimal performance in the next iteration, right? And we pick the candidate that gives us the best performance, right? Because in the next, because basically we expect it to give us the most performance gain in the next step. So evaluation, right? For evaluation, we compare with a couple baselines. These baselines are basically the state of the art today for tuning systems. First one obviously is to kind of randomly pick configuration. We also use what's called the iTune, also cherry pick. Cherry pick was from last year. And then something called TPE. And all these are based on Bayesian optimization, but they have a little bit different customization in them. Right? And then for traces, we actually use two production workload traces from Microsoft Bing Ads, and then we have three synthesized workloads from YCSB tool. So the first question we want to answer is, what's the probability of picking the best configuration? And for starter, let's not worry about data outliers. Right? And then what we have found here is that our tool, Mitis, can actually outperform 48% of the time. And in some cases, it's actually even more impressive. We can actually outperform 84.67% of the times, right, compared to the other baselines. Right. So in each experiment, we allow each approach to select 25 configurations, and we see what which approach actually has the best performance. Right. So each experiment would have one winner, and we repeat the experiment 30 times. And then I also want to show how the latency optimization occurs over time. Right. The line on the bottom is our tool, Mitis. Right, and as you can see that at any given time, we actually have the best, we actually have the lowest latency. Right? And then for the other baseline tools, right, either they actually require much, much more data before they can have a really good performance, or sometimes they just kind of stuck in the local minimum. Right? That's why if you look at the middle two lines, they kind of flat for a while, right, because they kind of stuck in the local minimum. But with our tool, we don't have this problem. So now let's make the problem more interesting. Let's also consider data outliers. Right? The red line actually represents the time instance when we start to do resampling, when we start to consider resampling. Okay. And before we consider resampling, you can see that the performance is actually not that great, right? But after we start to balance exploitation, exploration, and also resampling, we start to see that we start to the winning rate of our tools start to increase significantly. Right. So the last figure, I'm trying to show that basically this is actually our tool is actually feasible to run in the real world, right? It's actually, so for typically when we try to train each model, it takes about 10 seconds or less to train one model, right? So this is actually very fast, and compared to 2 to 3 hours of one benchmarks, this is actually a good proxy to use when you wanna do some estimation. Having said that, I'm happy to take questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, a very quick question. So how often do you need to resample in the production system?
So we constantly do monitoring. Uh-huh. And if we see that the performance actually degrades above a certain threshold, for example, right now, I think it's more than 10%. Right? If the latency increased by more than 10%, then we're going to log the system workload and then do the retraining and then do prediction again and yes. Then tune the system again.
Yes, my concern here because your model basically depends on the workloads running in the systems. Yes. And if the workload changes very frequently, yes. Then you need to resample it very frequently. And yes. Then this may cause a lot of overhead, or you may not reach to the best configuration.
That's right. Yes. So that's why we have a follow-up work, try to do online tuning. So doing online, we try to figure out what would be the best configuration.
I see. Yeah. Thank you.
But that's a good question.
Okay. So my question is did you involve any A/B testing during the whole process, or you only do the resampling in the production system? Do any A/B testing in the production system?
During the evaluation, right, we only switch half of the cluster. So the whole KV store is basically a cluster of KV stores. We only switch half of them to the new to the new technique.
Okay.
And then the other half remain the,
okay, cool.
The old technique.
Yeah, another question is about the outlier filtering. Uh-huh. So when you build your data set, so you will do the anomaly detection. So, but sometimes actually the anomaly actually is caused by outside the traffic, for example, yes. Workload and the system, maybe system performance, something like that. So if you directly filter it out, maybe you will lose such kind of features. So how do you think about it? Just like, for example, you do some anomaly detection, you yes. filter some outlier in yes. the data set, right? Uh-huh. But such kind of outlier sometimes is related to the actual heavy workload outside of the system. For example, at that time, a lot of requests come in.
Yes.
Make the whole distribution of the data maybe seems like there's some outlier in it, but actually it's a true feature of your data set. So maybe.
That's a good question. It is possible that we cannot filter it out. But the thing is, when we do resampling, right, maybe we're going to capture that feature again. And the next time, we will not treat it as an outlier.
Okay.
So,
This is a very good trend. I think you maybe covered it in a previous answer, but I wish we would get in these tuning things to a state where we're monitoring online traffic in real time. You have to do things a little bit differently, like That's reduce right. the size of the sample and stuff, That's but right. we really need to get to a point where we're continuously monitoring stuff.
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest problems about AI for system, right, is actually confidence, right? Because these systems are basically mission critical. So that's why people are kind of worried about online tuning. If you do tuning online, who is going to moderate the AI's decision?
But as you pointed out, your modeling is being more accurate than the hand modeling anyway.
That's
so you
true.
May as well just go in for it. I mean, anyway.
That's true. Yeah. So.